Next thought, not only do you find him in the table of a barren supply, but I want to say in 1 Kings 18, you'll find him at the trench of a believer's sacrifice. At the trench of a believer's sacrifice. If you would like to use our nursery this morning, be a family, meet you out there. And I'll assure you children to be in good hands today. But you can find in 1 Kings 18, I'm going to read one verse for sake of time because I'm going to read a lot of verses. The Bible said in verse number 32, now an old story, 1 Kings 18. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 412. If you can't, get you some speed dials on your Bible. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 32. The Bible said, and with the stones, Elijah, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Thank you for standing today of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Now, I want to give just a little bit of background. We've got a lot of Scripture to cover, but I'm going to try to be brief and try to lay with you 3 main thoughts that the Lord's put in my heart. And I want you to look in 1 Kings chapter number 16 and verse number 28. 1 Kings 16 and 28. I want to give you a little background, and I want to talk first of all around this trench of a believer's sacrifice. There was a rain of opposition. A rain of opposition. Ahab and Jezebel was in the White House. Things was running pretty wicked in that day and that hour. Now I want you to notice in this reign of opposition in verse number 28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. What a mouthful. And it came to pass, just like where we live today, as if it had been a light thing. You see, sin's not sin anymore in America. Seemed like it's just a light thing to live like the devil. And so nothing's new in our hour, is it? So certainly said he thought it'd be a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more, watch this, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And his days did Hiel the Bethlehite build Jericho. He laid the foundation in Abram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and the youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, the reign of opposition. If you'll notice in verse 31, you'll see it came to pass. It had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. My, in the reign of opposition, they thought it was a light thing to walk in sin. Can I tell you, as the child of God today, we have no excuse to walk in sin. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. Are we perfect? No. But we ought to be striving for perfection in our life. Friend, I'm going to tell you, our dirty jokes ought to leave us. Our foolish talking ought to leave us. Our social drinking ought to leave us. I want to say even our smoking, dipping, chewing ought to leave us. Amen. We ought to dress right. We ought to act right. We ought to be striving to get to them things. Well, preacher, that's things. That's right. Well, let me say this morning. God will save you the way He finds you. But He loves us too much to let us stay that way. And that's all I know to tell you. He's no respecter of person. If the God of this Bible lives in you, friend, there'll be some changes made in your daily walk of life. So the walk in sin was a light thing. Isn't it amazing that in America they will kill hundreds of thousands of babies a year and nothing said about it? But you go out and you kill an oak tree and they'll write about it. You go out and you mess up a whale on the beach, honey, and they'll write about it. We've got our priorities all messed up in America. It's a light thing if we walk in sin now, in the day and hour we live. You know, used to, the word shacking up was an ugly thing. And it still is this morning. We think it's just a light thing. We move in and try everything out. Well, honey, why don't you get right with God and get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and your marriage will work out. You ain't got to move in and shack up to see if you make it. Get your heart right with God and your marriage will make it this morning. You say, I don't like it, preacher. I done said it. And so I'm going to tell you, the walk in sin was a light thing. And then verse 31, notice not on the walk of sin, but this walk always leads a wife of sin. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you live in a beer joint, you're going to find you a beer joint girl. And then you're going to wonder why she's going to run around on you and becomes an alcoholic. Amen. Look up here, it ain't time to pray this morning. We're preaching this morning. Amen. You'll notice he married who he's hanging out with. He married a woman named Jezebel. What's so strange about that? Her daddy was a heretic. He was a Baal worshiper. She influenced him. And let me tell you something, men. Women will influence us. And ladies, men will influence you. We're influential people. We are who we run with. I tell you, a good place to find a husband. At the church house. A good place to find a wife at the church house. Not out yonder at the Vets Club. Yeah, man. And so we see here today the reign of opposition. The walk in sin. Then the wife of sin, Jezebel. And then notice verse 31. The worship of sin. The Bible said it came to pass, if he had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. I sure wouldn't let nobody influence me on my worship. If it didn't line up on this Bible, honey, there is no way under the sun I'd leave the God of the Bible to go to this little god of Baal. I wonder how many people has married the wrong family and been influenced. They was in a godly Bible preaching church and some Jezebel got them out on the outside. Oh, I'm going to tell you, some of you men need to be guts. Get you some guts and put you some big boy britches on. Be daddy down there where you live. Amen. Quit letting mama run the house and mama call the show. You need some balance, but honey, you got to stand up and be the man. Say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You say, well, I ain't got a man. Then you be the man and bring them to the house of God. Maybe God will save your spineless little husband. Amen. Amen. And so men, we ought to be men. You notice Jezebel led him in the wrong direction. I don't care what way she's leading you this morning. You better stand up and do what this Bible says do. Well, she won't like me, won't hold my hand, and won't kiss me. You don't need that kind of loving and kissing. Shake that mew head, it'll hip you this morning. So we see here in this reign of opposition, walk of sin, wife of sin, the worship of sin. Then verse 32, watch this, boy. Oh, we see the work of sin. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he'd built in Samaria. You know why? Because she probably stayed on his case till he did it. Boy, ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing how you can be so influenced? Oh, I'm man down my house. I'm macho man. I'm Matt Dillon. Praise God, I do everything my way. She going to do what I say. You so wimpy, though, for long, you'll be worshiping Baal. You got to take a stand. Love your wife, love your children. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Amen. Say amen. Hey, ladies, go say amen right there to help you say amen this morning. And so we see that it just It just led a different... Hey, I want you to notice something. Have you ever noticed how something starts leaning? It'll go to falling. I want you to notice what happened. He let this thing in his house a little bit. Now he's built up an altar, but now I want you to notice what he does. Secondly, he didn't only build up an altar, but in verse number 33, not only the work of sin, but the witness of sin. Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, a lot of the authors have a disagreement on this text. They think that he planted trees and groves, but that's not what a lot of old Puritans, boy, have to say. They say these are idols. Around that altar of Baal, he reared up these big idol gods that stood all around them. And the people from far and near can look and see that god of Baal. Well, what was Baal? Baal was a great sun god. They had sexual fantasies. He was a big sex god. Reminds me of America. Isn't it amazing the thing? Hey, let me tell you. You know what's wrong with America? We don't blush no more. Say amen right there. We don't blush no more. We walk around with our backsides a shining and we think, well, it's the style. We walk around with halters on and we say, well, that's the style. I'll tell you what God says. God says, clothe yourself. Because you better not trust this stuff right here that we live in. You better not trust this stuff, buddy. This stuff will run a red light on you, friend. And when anybody else runs a red light, it'll make you do this. I was preaching this week and told the congregation something like that. Look at me like, I don't trust this stuff. And you better not trust this stuff either. And here's what you better be listening to, if the Holy Ghost lives in there. And so you see, the thing started leaning and before long it fell. Oh, we see a great rule of wickedness. It was an amazing thing of opposition, this reign of opposition. It was amazing, this walk of sin and wife of sin and the worship and the work and the witness. It just led to groves and it led to bigger things. Then we find a story now where God tells Elijah this day and hour. He said, first of all, now in chapter 17, verse 1, he said, I want you to go and I want you to hide yourself. He said, in verse 3, he said, it's very important you go out by the brook Cherith, where we preached from last week, and hide yourself. And then in chapter 18, verse 1, it picks up. Not only do we find him hiding himself, but now we're fixing to find him showing himself. You see, you're never going to be worth a lick for God till you realize it's all him. Until we hide ourselves, then we can do something for the Lord Jesus. You see, God had to send Elijah down under the brook Cherith and let it all dry up before God could ever use him. You know how God uses people? God loves to break His soldiers and God loves to keep His soldiers humble so they realize who's in the water sending business, friend. So he had to go to learn to hide himself before he could show himself. And so now God's got him. And he walks in front of Ahab, and this is what he said. He said, hey, you quit paying your light bill. You quit paying your water bill. Said, you're serving all these other gods. You done provoked the God of Israel more than any man that's ever lasted. Now listen, he's fixing to close heaven up on the whole kingdom. And now for three and a half years, it hadn't rained yet. It's a terrible situation. Can I tell you that America's in a spiritual drought because of the things that are going on in our country this morning? Our churches is in a great spiritual drought today because of leadership. It's amazing how come there's no rain falling in our churches because of the things that's going on in the churches. Now, it is a bad time. It's a wicked time. And so we see this thing of the reign of opposition. And so now in chapter number 18, there's a Bible character that comes out on the scene. And his name is Obadiah, 1 Kings 18 and 3. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And so we find out that Obadiah and Ahab, Ahab's running the country. Obadiah's the governor over the land. Here Ahab, things is dried up, and he sends Obadiah and he says, "Listen, I want you to go and hunt grass with me for our mules and cattle and oxen." He said, "I'm going to go to the left and you go to the right." So they went out. Well, old Elijah come up on the scene and he met old Obadiah. He said, "And listen, Obadiah, you go back and you tell Ahab I want to see him." Obadiah said, I can't mention your name in front of Ahab." He said, "Don't you remember? I'm the one that fed all them prophets over there in the cave." Now, Obadiah is a picture of the 21st century Christian. One that just don't want to show what side that they own. The one that loves to be a fence straddler. And you say, "Well, preacher, you know something, I do good and I go to church." The Bible says, "Well, stand up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know something, friend? In this modern day Christendom today, we're wanting the applause of the world and the smile of God at the same time. And honey, it will not happen. You've got to determine what side you're on. Draw a line in the sand. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're going to serve Baal, serve him. If not, serve the God of the Bible this morning. You say, "Well, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. They done seen your car. You might as well get into it this morning. They know you're down at a God-fearing Holy Ghost preaching church. You ought to just shout and enjoy the Lord this morning." Some of you want to park your car on the back, but you want to hear the preaching, but you don't want nobody to know you're down here. Fence straddlers. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Obadiah. You think Obadiah was right in the will of... You think that God would be smiling about Obadiah. But I'm going to tell you in the book of Revelation, the Bible, he said, in the last Laodicean church age, Brother Mike dealt with it Wednesday night, honey. He said, "Hey, I want people to know what side you're on." He said, "I'd rather you be cold or hot in the last day." Talking about a lukewarm church. Two or three have stand up and testified, but nobody else to testify. "Well, preacher, we believe in Jesus. Act like it." Amen. You can't hold on to the world and hold on to God and please God this morning, friend. Let me tell you, you're not going to please this community. If we're going to preach, we're going to upset the apple cart. I've got a tendency of turning the apple cart over, spinning all the apples out in the floor. And honey, I'm telling you, it's time to decide what side we own this morning. You know what Obadiah was? He was a liberal. He was a liberal. He was working under the king and he had just enough religion in him to so he could say that he went to church somewhere. Boy, something helped me this morning. It helped me so much. When I realized what God's got me doing around here, it amazed me. You know something? And I'll get on to it and it takes me to the next thought because I don't want to run rabbits. I want to give you Bible this morning. And I want you to notice this now. Not only the reign of opposition, but the reluctance of opinions. Reluctance of opinion. I want you to look in chapter 18 now, and in verse number 17. Now Ahab, Obadiah's done met up, and Ahab's going over there to meet Elijah. Don't you know that Obadiah hated to go back and tell that old king, "Hey, that old shouting prophet down there is wanting to see you, king." The man turned the water off. He said, "He's wanting to see you." He said, "Yep, I'm wanting to see him too." So he went over there now, and the meeting takes place in 1 Kings 18, 17. Came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" There's the mindset right there. If a man stands up against sin, he's a troublemaker. Let me get a good drink right there. I'm ready for round two this morning. He said, "Are you the one causing all that trouble down there in Bowden? Are you the one that's causing all of that trouble? Are you the one that won't get on somebody's chain? Are you the one that won't stay in that little Baptist box? Are you the one that won't have a conference? Are you the one that don't vote on everything? Are you the one won't let them put a nameplate on nothing they set on? Are you the one won't let them ride on God's stained glass? Are you the one that give all that away to them missionaries? I the one. Are you the one that's causing all this trouble? And I love what he said. In answer, he said, I'm not troubled, Israel, but thou and thy father's house. And that you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now send and gather to me, O Israel, to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. What a sight. And Elijah came unto all the people. And listen, his first words he said, now watch this. Here's one old man of God walks up on a high place. And here's old Ahab. He's brought all of his prophets of Baal. Them boys had been cutting their sail. Did you know it was so wicked? They would sacrifice their babies on an altar of fire. Did you know they were so consumed in this worldly God, they would build a fire and they would take your young ones and they would cast them in the fire and burn them up for a sacrifice. That's how wicked they was. And now, all of these prophets of Baal had gathered around old Ahab. Old Jezebel looking out of her tent window probably. And boy, here comes old Elijah, my hero. He walked up and I want you to look what he said. How long wilt thou halt between two opinions? I won't say this right here because I'm going to preach it for long. I got my mind made up. I got my mind made up. I won't say, I'm going to give you the points of it. I got my mind. I'm going to keep a preaching. I'm going to keep a praising. I'm going to keep a loving people. I'm going to keep saying, come one, come all. I don't care what you look like. Don't care what you've been doing. I'm just saying there's a bloody cross that'll save you from your sins this morning. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Sir, let me ask you something. As he said, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. And the people answered him, not a word. Y'all decide what side you on this morning. Some of you have been halting so long now, your hair is gray, you're fixing to die and go to hell without Christ. It's about time you decide to serve God or follow Baal. Some of us done live long enough, our hair's done turned loose. I'd say it's done time we get off of halting. You know something, if you halt between two opinions, I notice this, you're stuck doing nothing. If you're not convinced here, you're not going to do nothing. Brother Joe said this morning, these benches don't need you to hold them down. Gravity does that. We need to determine what side we're on. And let me tell you something this morning, honey. I'm on the Lord's side. I have no room in this church for a liberal. None. I'm not talking about hating people. I'm not talking about preaching a message of hate. I'm just talking about routine maintenance, friend. Oh, how long you halt between two opinions? Just stuck in the middle, not doing it. In other words, you're leaning here and you're leaning there. You're leaning here and you're leaning there. Before long, you're rocking, you're going to fall off the fence and get hurt, friend. Halt between these. I love this now about old Elijah. I love his manner. He was firm, fearless, and faithful. Thank God for the old men of God that's been firm, fearless, and faithful. And I want you to notice something. It wasn't many people with him. But he stood up and he said, I tell you one thing. How long are you going to be stuck between your opinions? Preacher, I tell you what my opinion is. Keep it. I don't want it. Opinions. Stuck. I love his manner. And I love his method. It was preaching. Could you imagine old Elijah with a drama team out there on Mount Carmel? I wonder if the drama team could have got anything done with the prophets of Baal. No, honey, it was preaching. You say, oh, we still have the same message. We just changed the method. Then they're wrong. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And preaching still works this morning. Turn around and tell somebody about you. Preaching still works. Turn to preaching still works. Somebody said, we got to go to the world to keep our children. But we got a lot of children around here. You know why? We got a lot of mom and daddies want to have them here. They can't drive. Hey, young'uns. Oh, young'uns, look at your preacher this morning. Oh, little ones that know how to pay. I want you to look at the preacher. Turn to your mom and daddy and say, I can't drive. Turn and tell them, I can't drive. Wonderful. Wonderful. That may dawn on you down there in the chicken line somewhere. His method, he kept a preaching, just kept a preaching. And his message, he said, how long? They already had time. How long do you hop between opinions? I want to say something. A lot of churches doing a traditional service at 9, and then this new crowd at 11, they're going to do a contemporary. That's between two opinions. The Bible says a unstable man is unstable in all of his ways. I mean, you ought to decide what side you... preacher, you know, I just want to sort of sit over there and come to church and I just don't want no trouble. I don't want no trouble neither. But I'd love to have a little amening going on. I mean, if you come, you might as well get in this thing. Oh, my, I see his message. How long... Now, I want to ask you something. You know what the problem was? Boy, that's good right here. Then I'll run on third point. We go home, let you get in your chicken line. Now, listen. You know I brought out something about old Obadiah? Now, you watch. All these people, what have they been watching? Ahab and Obadiah. You know why there's halting between two opinions? Because of a liberal Christian. They hadn't seen no results of nothing else to believe any way other. It's very important how we live in front of others. All right, let me ask you, Brother Dennis said something this week. Brother Ken, there's a whole lot of people down there that likes that preaching, but not many people say it. They just don't want to say nothing. That was Obadiah's problem. Do you realize when you're not shouting and hollering for the preaching and praising God, you're discouraging other people to do it? And friend, if it's right, you ought to say amen, hallelujah. You're right, preacher. That's right. It's good preaching, preacher. But they've been watching old Obadiah. He'd run over yonder and he would be in a juke hall on Friday and be over there in the choir on Sunday. And then they didn't see no change. Let me tell you something. You're not going to impact nobody for the Lord Jesus Christ till you stand up and decide who you are and what you're going to do.
That's right. Amen.
You're not going to lead nobody to Christ. You're not going to be impactful. You're not going to have no influence till you stand and say, look a here. Look a here. Am I going to sell Pepsi or am I going to preach? Who are you going to be? A chameleon? I was sitting in a deer stand this week. Oh, I forgot I ain't supposed to have fun. I seen something climbing up a stick in front of me. I started pulling my bow back and say, booyah. It was a lizard. And he blended into the pine tree. It's the most amazing thing. You didn't even know he was there. He is a stinking chameleon. I bet if he run over there on my white truck, he'd turn white. It's time that we pick up the bloodstained banner and said, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and let the God of Israel be our God. We got too many Obadiahs in the church. Too many Obadiah. You won't stand up and take a stand. Just let your preacher get his brains beat out. Somebody talk about him in a grocery store. You give your ear instead of a right hook. Boo yeah! Y'all say, that's my preacher down there you're talking about. That's our church you're talking about, Gloria. We don't stand for the Lord this morning. You Obadiah looking something? That old crazy preacher. Y'all say, bless God, I'll tell you one thing about that crazy preacher. You leave down there where he preaches, you know you've been to church. Bunch of happy birthday singing Sally's. Birthday cake blowing fence setting people. I gonna get them women preachers while I'm there. That rabbit bounced up. It's about time folks decide they're gonna go to church and have a church, or they're just gonna have a roper room. I want to give you something in your Bible this morning. I want to show you something over there in your Bible. I ain't got no room for no liberal, and I'm not going to apologize it. Look over here in 1 Timothy this morning. You say, preacher, what in the world are you doing? Oh, I'm going to show you in a minute. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, a man desire the office of a bishop, that's overseer, that's one in charge, that's a shepherd, that is a pastor. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now let me tell you something, friend. Let's get something real clear about this old country boy. I is a man. And I ain't never seen no man that I'd wink at, Brother Troy. You see that wife sitting right there, honey, 28 years. She makes my heart go flip, flip, flip. You say, I don't like it. That's why I'm preaching to keep your liberal hide out of here. If somebody, listen, if somebody don't stand up and preach, it's going to be just like Israel. Baalism going to take over, and we're not going to have the glory of God in this place. You know how come Balaam come up on the scene? Because it wasn't a prophet there preaching about it. Friend, you plant a garden, a church just like planting. You plant it and walk off and leave it and see what you get out of it. You got to hoe it and till it. And you think, sure, Brother Philip, people take preaching. They can't take preaching but one week to the next. You don't know what I said last week. That's why we got to keep on the same soapbox. I'm going to tell you, I could back off this preaching about 3 weeks. You wouldn't know this place. It'd be just set full of liberals. Bunch of libs turn into Hollywood. My goodness, it's 12 o'clock. I told Brother Tim not to do no special. I needed preaching today. I'm going to tell you something, friend. These Obadiahs are killing our churches. No middle ground. Oh, Matthew 6:24. I'm going to give you some ammo. Matthew 6:24. I don't get to preach tonight, so you ain't got to come back. I'll be here. Matthew 6, verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now you listen to me this morning before we go home. You listen loud and you listen clear. People make fun of you for coming to a church that stands up against the things of a day. But I challenge you this. There's been folks that's left because people talked them out and made fun of it. And now their life's shipwrecked because they got out from under the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God will see you through it from Monday to Sunday. He is one that's faithful and has never lost a battle this morning. So you let them talk. Lord, it come back this week. You got to show you W-2 again to get around. Look at this crowd. This crowd ain't got no money. I done seen what you drove up in. I'd hate to see our W-2s. Ain't that goofy? That is the goofiest thing. That is some goofy people in Bowden, Georgia. You got to show your W-2 form before you go to Liberty Baptist Church. What? What? But you know something? They just ain't got the guts to get out of their liberal church to come to where God's at. Grandma and Grandpa put it down there and they're going to die with the rest of them. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, these old Obadiahs. He said, how long? Caught between two opinions. Did you know something God Himself said, 1 John 2:15? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, you're not going to be a Christian and please the world. You're not going to be a Christian and please your family. So you might as well make your mind up this morning that talk's not going to matter. And all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And you better be sure there is a price to be sitting where you're sitting this morning. You hear me, friend? There's a price to be where you're sitting today. Now you can go to a place, there's no preaching, there's no Holy Ghost. There's not old time singing, there's not old time neck hugging and loving and an altar open. But if you go to that kind of church and that kind of ministry, you're going to pay a price to have it. And if you'll name your price, you listen to this old preacher this morning, you listen to me loud and clear. If you name your price, the devil will be sure you get it. I wish I could say something you'd think I was a boasting. I've had people to try to buy me. I've had other churches to try to buy me. Lord God, I wish they'd buy you. They ain't got enough money. They ain't got enough money. This ain't about money. This is about this. And these. I guess I get to preach the rest of this next week. Miss Julie, come. Because I sure do want to give you something on that fire. I know there's too much to try to preach today. Whose side you on? Whose side? How long will you halt between two opinions? You know the reason some of you are not saved this morning? Because you're stuck in between. You're not serving God. Nor Balaam. I tell you what one of those writers said, Brother Joe, really got my attention. And it brought it down to my country boy level and country boy math that I could understand. This is what he said. Elijah said, you serve. You decide. Will you serve the God of Israel or the God of Baal? And this is what he said. You know why God wanted that statement made? Because He don't want to be put on Baal's level. How long? Preacher, how do I know if I'm halting? I can tell you one thing. And I ain't throwing rocks. I'm just telling you how I know if you're halting. Number one, if you're not faithful at your church, you're halting. If you're not being a light, you're halting. You better look down there at that pew who's sitting by you today. You ought to say, God, help me with my personal life. God said, I wish you were cold or hot. He said, I don't like a lukewarm Christian.
A divided heart will not satisfy our Maker. We put God on a level with Baal. And did you notice something there? He said, how long will you hop between two opinions? Did you know God said, if my people, which are called by, my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. He's not talking to Washington. Listen, he's not talking to Hollywood. He's talking to me and you. You look around how full this church is this morning. And I'm glad you're here. Don't never think I'm here to beat you and run you off. If you're liberal, you need to turn about. Get right with God. But you listen. Why ain't it this full tonight? Because your priorities aren't right. And I say that lovingly. If you go to a doctor and you say, Doc, I want to know what's wrong with me. Something's really bothering me. And if he says, well, I know what the problem is, but I ain't going to tell you. You say, well, why did I come to you? You cannot be blessed on this hit or miss Christianity. How long will you halt? Thought this week about Brother Wendell, Brother Jeff, Brother Danny just got saved. I'm glad them men aren't stuck in the middle no more. Ma'am, you can be saved this morning because he loves you. Sir, you can come today because he loves you. Won't you grab them babies this morning, Mom and Daddy, and make it down this altar as our sister sings and say, Lord, I...